Well, good morning, church. It's good to look out and see your smiling faces looking back at me today. It's good to be back. I just got back from El Salvador about 9.5 hours ago. Flight came in about midnight last night, so it's good to be with you today. Thank you for your prayers for the team, some of which are present in worship today. And we had a very successful week. And we also got water. I don't know if you caught the nuance of what I just said. I said we had a very successful week, and we also got water. We built relationships with people. We saw the image of God in one another. People came to know the Lord. We had people bless us in ways that we never expected. And we also got water. I want to share with you from Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. This is toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is teaching his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And in verses 7 through 11, as he teaches about prayer, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son or daughter asks for bread, will give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, we'll give them a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Father, we're thankful today that you are so much more ready to give and respond to our prayers than we are to offer our prayers. And even in the midst of our time together today, we know that you are at work in our lives. In so many ways, in places where we have not even begun to see the need that we have. And so today, Lord, we place our trust in you and ask that you would renew our faith and that you would stir up in us a new desire to pray, to deepen our prayer life, and so to deepen our relationship with you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Struggle keeping track of time this week. But I know that at some point, not sure what day it was, July 25th came and went. What was that, Wednesday? Yeah. It's my grandmother's birthday. She would have been 109. She passed away about 24 years ago. I have wonderful memories of my grandmother who lived next door to where I grew up. And being the youngest grandchild, I had a pretty good gig. One of my fondest memories of being at Grandma's house next door was walking in and finding her, quote, "working the puzzle." Some of you know what I mean. She worked the crossword puzzle in the back of the TV guide every week. You remember when you used to get a TV guide in the mail and it would tell you what was on the television, all three channels that you got? Grandma sometimes would allow me to help her work the puzzle. And I would get the easy ones, you know, the three-letter word for a feline starts with C. But then there were some words in the crossword puzzle that I just couldn't get as a child. I didn't know what they were getting at. I didn't understand the hints, and I couldn't figure out the eight letters that went in there, third letter being Z. And so I would find myself having to ask for help. And together, Grandma and I would figure it out some way and work the puzzle. Life's a lot like that, isn't it? Sometimes the answers come easily, and sometimes they don't. You may be here today and may be facing some questions in your life that you just don't have the answers to today. You may be dealing with some problems that you just can't quite figure out yet. And so I've flown from El Salvador this morning to encourage you to pray, to ask. To ask God for help. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, he said, and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's Jesus' definition of prayer, to ask and to seek and to knock. And the implication in those words is it's not just a one-time thing, but a continual asking and an ongoing seeking and a regular knocking on the doors of heaven for God's hand to move in our lives, to solve the problems, to find the answers that are just a bit beyond our reach. You may be like me and find yourself struggling with that at times because we all like to think that we're pretty self-sufficient, self-reliant. After all, we're Americans. We can do anything. We just celebrated, last week, the 50th anniversary of putting a human being on the moon. I remember as a child there was a commercial for coffee, I believe, that used to say something, we can put a man on the moon. That we can't find a good coffee. You remember that commercial? So sometimes some of us struggle with this concept of prayer, especially dealing with this idea of having to ask for help. And what we realize is that prayer requires us to admit our poverty. That's strong language, I know. We don't like to see ourselves or think of ourselves as people who are poor. Or in poverty. I mean, I just came from a little village in El Salvador. I know what poverty looks like. But in reality, there are many kinds of poverty. And as amazing as human beings tend to be in our ability to solve problems and to fix things, there are so many other things that we seem unable to be able to handle. We seem unable to eradicate the disease of hatred, for example. We seem to struggle in solving the problem of violence that pervades our society. While we can cure some diseases, we can't heal every sickness. That causes us angst. And certainly we know that we can't prevent death. At best, we can postpone it, but we can't prevent it. And so we find ourselves today being challenged by the words of Jesus to ask for help. And that's what we're doing when we pray. We're admitting that we need help. Earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, in that section of chapter 5 in Matthew's Gospel, known as the Beatitudes, Jesus begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know that they are bankrupt, poverty-stricken. They're blessed because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, some of the best prayers in the Bible are offered by those who have nowhere else to turn but to God. I think about the thief on the cross who's run out of all his options and turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." I think of blind Bartimaeus as he sits along the streets of Jericho begging. And when he hears that Jesus has come by, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I think of Simon Peter walking on water, make that sinking in the water, who finally cries out, "Lord, save me." These examples remind me that we will never be able to truly pray until we come to the end of ourselves. But I promise you, friends, when we learn to come to the end of ourselves, that is where we find God. Do you believe that today? Prayer requires us to admit our poverty. But prayer also invites us to acknowledge God's goodness. To acknowledge God's goodness. Jesus gives this wonderful example in our reading today. And he says, "Who of you who are fathers or mothers, if you have a child who asks for bread, would give him a stone?" It's ridiculous. Or if they ask for a fish, you'd give them a snake. It's absurd. And then he said in verse 11, "How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, I know that sometimes when we hear these passages and when we hear a sermon that challenges us and invites us to pray with the faith of a child, we have all these scenarios that pop up in our minds. Well, we can't ask for that, and we can't expect God to help us with this, and surely we can just do these things ourselves. And yet Jesus continually points us toward a dependent faith upon God. Like the psalmist says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Speaking of tasting and seeing, we served a little village in El Salvador called Guacachala. I just like saying Guacachala. I'm guessing this little village had about 100 to 150 people in it. Dirt poor, literally. There was an alley that ran down between most of the little shacks that they lived in, and that alley was flooded every time it rained, and so there was much debris in between their homes. The tin roof leaked every night that it downpoured, and every morning they had to start over again, cleaning and preparing for the day. And yet every lunch, they blessed us with an incredible display of hospitality, wonderful food, unbelievable tortillas. And through those gifts, that great sacrifice of hospitality, we were able to once again learn and taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think that when we learn to depend on God in prayer as a humble child, with a faith that is willing to admit our poverty and acknowledge God's goodness, once again, we get a taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes, if you're like me, things kind of flood your mind as you try to go to sleep at night. It may be the problems that you face or that your family faces, the challenges of life, whether it be sickness or relational problems, seeking a specific direction in life, financial worries. And if you're like me, sometimes that keeps you up into the wee hours of the night. God, how am I going to fix this? What are we going to do? How will we resolve this problem? And what I've discovered through a lot of trial and error is that sometimes we just need to trust God and go to sleep. Not right now. Sometimes we just need to trust God and go to sleep and believe that our Heavenly Father is working for good in our lives. Do you believe this? You see, that's the kind of attitude I believe that our prayers need to have. The kind of prayer that says, I'm just going to trust God and go to sleep. I'm going to just trust God and get up and go to work. I'm just going to trust God and take care of what I can take care of and let God take care of what God's going to take care of. Because that kind of prayer invites us to acknowledge God's goodness. I love that passage from Ephesians that Gene read for us earlier from chapter 3, where Paul includes this wonderful, incredible benediction in the middle of the letter. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." Let that soak in for a second. Jesus has challenged us to ask in our prayers and trust that it will be given to us. And Paul takes it one step further and says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. It's as if God is reminding us that prayer is an opportunity to increase our imagination, to believe that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 19, with God, all things are possible. It makes me wonder why we limit ourselves and why we limit God in our prayer life. On the last day, we were in the village in Guacachala. We were asked early in the morning to visit one of the homes where there was a woman who was sick. Her name was Anna. And Anna was probably in her 80s, and we learned that she was very weak and very dizzy, and we were asked to come pray for her. And so we did. We gathered around in this little hut that she lived in that had its own little open water well, the kind that you would throw pennies in if you were at a wishing well. We literally sat on the edge of that well, and we prayed for Anna that she would be healed and be stronger and be able to do the things she wanted to do and needed to do to take care of her family. Later in the day at the celebration, we were blessed by the people of that village, and they all passed by us as a team and hugged us and thanked us for being there. And there was Anna on her feet, smiling, participating in the life of the community. What a joy it was to see her, but also to know that there's a God who answers prayer even in the middle of nowhere. And thank you for being here today and being the church that you are, a church that serves and a church that gives and a church that loves and a church that prays. If you ever find yourself doing a crossword puzzle and you come across a three-letter word for prayer and it starts with an A and ends with a K, I think you know how to fill it in from there, don't you? Ask, and it will be given to you. We end today with that benediction from Ephesians 3. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.